Welcome to the One Oahu podcast. I'm Brandy Higa, and today is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. It's another Town Hall Thursday. Another week we get to sit down with Mayor Rick Blangiardi. But before we begin, I just want to make one very important reminder that tonight's Town Hall meeting has been moved to the Blaisdell Center. But Mayor, last week we were at Wahiawa Elementary.
We were.
The week before that, Salt Lake District Park. I want to start first with Salt Lake because it's been a few weeks since we sat down with you. What were some of the takeaways? What did you learn there? Because a lot came out.
Yeah, it did. In fact, it was a really engaging meeting. People came with a lot of questions. And, you know, I think, look, we knew there was some water issues out there. There were some park issues that they wanted to talk about. There was some discussion with respect to the expansion of Salt Lake Boulevard and project timelines and whatever. But more than that, I thought, you know, the people just expressed a real concern about, you know, garbage being picked up and some of the reasons why some things weren't and when we could. And it was, we came away from it, I think, satisfying them. Things have been done since then. We learned some stuff. And that's exactly what we want to do, is sort of go in there and troubleshoot where we can and make a difference and also provide people with some information. When the meeting ended that night, I felt that everybody felt like it was really worthwhile. In fact, we stayed around a little bit afterwards, and it's always gratifying when people come up and say, you know, I wasn't sure about tonight, but it was really worthwhile. And I know our team followed up on a number of things. So it was a good town hall. I think the last one was as well in Wahiawa. I mean, clearly, it was a combined Wahiawa, Mililani in that area, and the two big takeaways were a skate park in Wahiawa and the Mililani skating rink. But, you know, again, it's the same issues with respect to homelessness, or in this particular case in Wahiawa, and we've done some follow-up already, and I think we're going to try to move to condemnation, but there's some places on Avocado Street right now that are really have been, you know, as a result of past fires now have become, you know, really not what you want them to be with respect to. It's not one thing to have homeless sleeping there, but there's drug activity there, criminal activity, different things going on. We really can't be allowing that. But I thought it was, the Wahiawa crowd came, the room was packed. They were really, you know, what I really like about it this year is that we've asked people to be civil, and they are being civil, and the conversations are really heartfelt, and I think it's making for a really good, meaningful dialogue from our cabinet with the people, and listening to the things on their mind, some problems or concerns, the stuff that's gone back and forth, and again, the follow-up, I say, and I watch afterwards, even some of the personal contact. So I think we're starting to achieve the kind of momentum and feel to these meetings that I was hoping we would have, and that is that we really are, and I heard all the bad cliches about from the government, we're here to help. No, it's really a team of people who are empowered to make a difference with the issues that are of concern for the public, and that kind of engagement is going on, and those kinds of activities or actions are taking place. I feel good about that. I feel really good about that. I think that we're hitting a nice stride. You know, I think that the team is, and I want to actually congratulate you guys and the communications team, because I know a lot of prep has gone into, but I can tell that everybody is prepared when they get up. And I think that that's helping. That not that we have knowledge of all the questions ahead of time, but at least there's a familiarity of the issues that we're likely going to encounter per the neighborhood board meetings and then the compilation of that kind of information. So there are really no great surprises. I think we hear in every town hall a couple of things that we weren't expecting, you know, but for the most part, you know, we're able to give them really good answers, and I think that that's helpful to the people who go there. I mean, just that in and of itself, to be able to ask a question and get an answer that is insightful, that's satisfactory, and in some cases there's follow-up action to it, is what we wanted to achieve.
Yeah, you talked about that prep. I'm sure that you were expecting the skater and the hockey community to come out in Mililani, but they did make a request.
They did.
For facilities. If you can explain kind of what that request was, and then what is our follow-up?
Well,
what is
the skate park in Wahiawa, they want to build a new one. They want the community to get involved, and but they need a new location. The one that they have right now is really small, and they got way too many kids using it. And so we actually have, I've talked to them since town hall. over the course of the weekend. I know Chief of Staff Andy Sugg is going out there to meet with them. I've certainly alerted Laura Thielen too. Look, these folks really are being very good about it. They have offered already to start community fundraising. We think the cost would be maybe $1 million. I want to see if the city can contribute the land to it. In addition to, you know, possibly helping with some major underwriters. I think if this is a combined, you know, opportunity we see from some private sector businesses, I don't want to compromise anybody by dropping a name right now, because I don't want to be that presumptuous, but the community's willing to help itself. I had a couple of people actually volunteer to do some stuff, so I think we could actually get a new skate rink in Wahiawa, and I do think that we're not far away. We've already done some work in Mililani. This will be a follow-up, creating lighting overhead and maybe a new court surface as opposed to concrete where the kids skate. But these facilities are being used literally by hundreds of kids, and that to me is right on the money. You know, for all the things that we talk about investing in our youth, these are not big cost items in our communities that will benefit our kids. So we're going to make every effort we can to extend what we've already begun in Mililani with the skating rink and see if we can't get a new skate park. And apparently, you know, skateboarding out in Wahiawa is very popular. I mean, they really showed up in mass and they were really sincere. And that's the thing about it that I really like, is the sincerity of the people. And they're just saying, you know, and the fact that we're out there and they have a chance to even directly talk to me and everybody else, it's a really good engagement. It's not the complaints. You know, every now and then you get somebody who's gets a little attitude and they're frustrated, and that's understandable. I say at the beginning of the meeting, I said, we know there's frustrations, we know the passion runs deep, let's just help us understand what it is. And I think, honestly, I've come away from all four now feeling like this has really been good for the community and good for us as a team, and good stuff is coming out of it. So it's what we want. We wanted to reach out and not just listen, but we wanted to hear and learn, and that's what's happening.
You talked about prep and planning, and I'm sure you go into each district kind of knowing the issues at hand and being prepared to answer some questions, even provide some updates for projects and things like that, or questions that came up during the last town hall tour. But when it comes to the recent ones, were there questions that you expected to get that didn't come, issues you had hoped to maybe address that you can, I guess, touch on here because the questions never got asked to you there?
Yeah, there was some in Kailua, for example. Yeah. I really expected that we were going to be talking about Lanikai more on parking and access, ingress and egress, given the concerns. Clearly, we thought we were going to hear about Haiku Stairs, which we didn't, but we've now since done a press conference on that and announced the stairs coming down. There were some other issues in, I think, every one of them that we thought would come up and didn't. So, you know, I'm, right now there's so much of that in my head, I'd have to go look at my notes. I appreciate the question, but that's true. We go in there thinking, and then that doesn't seem to be top of mind, because we really do try to, you know, we go there, and one of the things that I say is, look, we're not here to make speeches tonight. We're here to answer questions, and we want to answer as many questions as we can, but I'd like to kind of keep them on topic and not have the same, you know, topic to ask 10 different people, so we can really cover a wide array of things. And it's been good like that. The people have been very, very good. I thought the other night we had a at length conversation in Wahiawa about homelessness, but it was warranted. I think the people actually applauded when we finished it. They felt like we covered the topic extensively. But other than that, it's just try to, like, you know, ask a question, and then we draw upon the expertise of our cabinet being there. Directors or deputy directors step up and answer that, and then they can do some follow-up. And I think that's been the healthy part of it, is just trying to answer a lot of questions and tell people, look, we got 2 full hours, let's see how much we can get done and work together, like we're working together, as opposed to just a Q&A to problem solve. And I like that feel. I know there's a nuance there, but it's real. And the fact that we have followed up, and I've gotten feedback on the follow-up already, and the fall we've done on some things, it's been very healthy.
I'm sure there's some that you didn't expect, though. The one that stands out in my mind, Mayor, was when we were at Salt Lake and the man got up to ask about kite flying.
Yeah, now that's a great example. I didn't know as mayor that we actually have signs that say no kite flying in parks. And there's a big park out there. In fact, that's where we were. And I'm thinking, who made that rule up? I mean, it's just, you know, I grew up maybe generationally with kids where we didn't have a whole lot of stuff, you know? I mean, as I was a kid, you know, what today is skateboards used to be scooters that basically were a pair of roller skates cut in half. You put two wheels in the front, two in the back on a 2x4, nail another 2x4 up, and then another some kind of piece of wood over to make a steering handle. Of course, it didn't steer. You just went straight ahead. There was no whatever, but that generation. But certainly kite flying was part of that. I can still remember as a kid going and buying these kites and trying to carefully make them, because the balsa wood that they would give you to construct a kite was really fragile. It was easy to break, and even the paper was pretty flimsy. But that was like a big deal as kids to try to go fly a kite. The fact that we have signs up today, we're so concerned about our youth in wide open areas that say no kite flying, that doesn't make sense. So we're on that. We're taking a look at that. I don't know when that rule went into effect or even why, but it's surprising.
You touched on this earlier. You were at the blessing for Haiku Stairs and Nakoa and the work that they're doing now to remove those stairs. Can you talk about that project?
Well, it's a big project. You know, it was a decision that for probably over 20 years was being kicked around and everything else. And we knew coming in, the decision had to be made. And we were through a lot of due diligence. And we spent a lot of time with the people who were, the friends of Haiku Stairs who wanted to save it. And at the same time, we did our due diligence on the community. We did a due diligence on the proposal that they were making with respect to having, you know, safe access. It just doesn't work in the middle of a residential neighborhood, not to mention the dangers of that. You know, it's been closed since 87. It was not built for that. You know, it is a hiker's thrill, but there's been rescues. I know nobody's died up there, but a lot of harrowing rescues over the years and different things. A lot of vandalism. Just at the end of the day, we made the decision. I think I said it out of respect for the people who live in that area, out of respect for the Aina itself, and about the cultural history and past of Haiku Valley and everything else, that we did the right thing. And so, you know, I was pleased, knowing that it had been controversial, that we didn't run into a whole lot of protest that day. There was none. And people, I think, have accepted our decision, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback and a lot of really appreciative people who live in the area. So, you know, look, we're not against hikers. I made that clear that day. We actually invested and did a whole bunch of work in the stairs at Cocoa Head, not to be confused with Haiku Stairs. They're two different kinds of situations. Cocoa Head stairs are not anywhere near. They could be real challenging physically, but they don't present the danger that Haiku does. And we're supportive of that as we are on our hiking trails. So, and we'll see what the future brings if somebody decides to construct something on the other side of the valley to get up there. I know for those people who did it, enjoy it, I listened to them, you know, what an incredible experience it was for them. It's just as I think Esther, Councilwoman Kiana said, you know, this is a man-made contraption that was installed, you know, for different reasons, for national security purposes a long, long time ago. That over the years and everything else, it's unsafe. I don't know how else to say it. And we took the action, and here we go.
It's been a pretty terrible few weeks for e-bike users. You mentioned maybe this is something different generationally, but particularly our young riders, who we do have to mention are probably not allowed to ride these legally, because you do have to be 15.
And they're probably not even listening to this podcast.
And they're not listening to this podcast, but their parents are.
Yeah.
So what is your message for maybe the parents, aunties, uncles, who are buying these e-bikes for these keiki?
Yeah. Well, these things go fast enough to get you killed, certainly fast enough to get you hurt really bad. And not only that, kids underage are actually driving them. And as we had listened to in Waihewa the other night, in fact, you know, they're racing down streets and doing wheelies and doing a lot of things and wondering why the police can't stop it. And of course, Chief Logan talked about the fact that it's kind of difficult to do that. On one hand, you know, you're not going to be chasing kids down on their e-bikes in a you know, blue and white. That said, I'm going to ask for stronger enforcement in some of those areas. Nonetheless, even if we had almost cops out there, because of police presence or even a police car parked there to stop that, but that's a different issue. I'm asking the parents, per your question, to be responsible. You know, you don't just go out and buy something like that and think, okay, that's good, go out and play and out in the streets and stuff, and especially when, if they have any knowledge of anybody even under legal age to be even driving one of these things. That's not fun. That's not funny. And somebody can get really hurt, and you can't put it all on the police or government for that matter. And I said the other night, if people are upset about that in front of their homes, neighborhoods need to start taking better control, too, of situations. And you can always call 911, but they can also do some stuff about that as well. So, you know, it's one of these things that I have driven one of those. I've been on it. And they're fun, you know, in a way, but I was surprised at how fast they go, you know, and you can get hurt really easily. And so, you know, look, we don't want anybody getting hurt, but we want people to be responsible too. So I'm not saying I'm against e-bikes, but people who have them, who bought them for their kids, they got to ensure the fact that they're using them properly.
Some big news broke earlier this week, particularly for our soccer families, that Waipio would no longer be used as a potential site for a new landfill. That's great news for those families.
Well, yeah, and it's not really a surprise. We knew it was uphill. The Navy was terrific to work with. We had lots of discussions in looking at every aspect, and they're wanting to help us maybe solve a problem. But in the end, that site is proven to be of critical importance to the military. And so what that means for the soccer families is that YPO now has been taken off of our list after really an extensive study. I know there was a lot of concern. Somebody told me there was a petition for like 18,000 mm-hmm. people had signed. And, you know, we were on the record of saying if that had become the site, we never would have begun using it as a landfill until we built an alternative site. And then we started looking at the numbers of that, and that was a $100 million project. To do that, to do it right, and do it better than YPO, to be honest with you, which is what we would be determined to do. But in the spirit of how much soccer means in our parks that we've talked about continuously on these podcasts and what it represents, we would have done right by everybody. So we're back to the drawing board. In some ways, I'm a little bit relieved, I'll be really honest with you, because, you know, we never really intended to go to YPO. We did everything we possibly could with our land action committee and evaluating the sites, but, you know, the fact that everything was in a no-pass zone, and going back a couple of years ago when Ridge Hill happened, and that just made anything involving an aquifer off limits, you know, we kind of get backed into that situation that the only places were military, and Lu'ulu'ule wasn't going to work because it was on the west side. Bellows was certainly not going to work for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is the buffer zones, but not in that area.
Right.
And that only left YPO because it was out on a peninsula. But again, given the work of the military and everything else. So look, I want to thank the Navy. They were great. Admiral Aguilino, all of them up there really worked carefully with us. We had Mike Formby, the managing director, and myself had a number of meetings. We engaged. We were most serious. I think people knew that once the word got out. But at the end of the day now, we understand it's off the table. So we're back to the drawing board.
I want to switch from soccer to sumo. Recently, we lost a legend, not just a Hawaii legend, but an international legend in Ake Bono.
A great athlete.
What did you remember about him?
Well, you know, the years that he was competing and really rose into fame, I was more familiar with Konishiki when I was here and actually saw him.
Oh, wow.
Which was tremendous. I was in Japan. But I would tell you that Ake Bono was just a great all-around athlete. I mean, he was and I think at the time, being a local guy who'd become, you know, who he became was the pride of everybody, you know? And so 54 years old is way too young to die. especially a guy who was so personal. You know, he had that whole, it was sumo in the Japanese culture with that sense of aloha, that warmth, of that Hawaiian spirit. It was like the best of both worlds. And he had that charisma about him that created quite a following. And so, boy, you just hate to see that happen when it happens. And so I can tell you that the reverence for him as a sports figure was about as palpable as anything I've seen in the passing of sports greats lately. You know, you could just see he had the respect of everybody.
Yeah, especially what's on the front page of the paper.
That
says a lot.
Yeah, and the irony is, I don't want to go off on any tangents, O.J. Simpson dies at the same time. He's like a footnote, you know? Yeah. Not just here in Honolulu. I mean, it became a bigger story other places, but Akebono was very special.
Yeah. Sticking with combat sports, and this was another front page story, but Max Holloway recently picked up a huge win with a $600,000.
Max Holloway is an incredible human being. I thought his career was over a couple of different times. You talk about a tough, gritty guy. Fearless. I mean, he's just been so relentless in his pursuit of winning that his winning doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's just he's really tough.
You know, this wasn't a headline or a co-headline or it wasn't for any, well, it was for a belt, but it was for the BMF.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if, I'm not sure if you're familiar with anyone that's held that before, but does this call for anything here in this office?
No, not that I
know
about.
Should we be honoring him in any
way? Maybe we should, I guess. I don't know. I'd like to meet him. I actually met him once, but you wouldn't remember. I just remember having met him. But, I mean, it was like a quick handshake but at some event. But I would, we should do something about that. That's a good idea. Maybe we should. Look, I'm all for, and Hawaii has produced so many, but I'm all for celebrating excellence. I'm all for celebrating greatness. And when people achieve things, and it can be at any level, and you know, you've been in this office, we're meeting with kids who win, championships from, when they play off island and they go up to the mainland or whatever, anything that we can do to encourage that, I think is just a vital part of community. And I know parents are proud. I know people are proud. It's about Hawaii and Hawaiian pride. So I'm all for that. We should do that. It's a good idea.
Well, Mayor, this is the One Oahu podcast. So for one final thought.
Well, for one final thought, tonight is our Chinatown town hall meeting, and I'm excited to do that. As you mentioned at the outset of the podcast, that we're going to be at the Pekake Room at the Blaisdell. We're expecting a great turnout. We've done a lot of good work in Chinatown. We know there's a lot more left to do. It'll be kind of good to get together now. We've done a lot in the last year. Get an update from the folks, a perspective from them. Also going to do a little show and tell on other things that are about to happen. We're also tonight, right now, I mean, Kekaliki Mall is just getting finished as we speak, and that's been a major improvement. But there's also been a lot of development with the real estate community in things that have happened this year. They're going to really, Mike Formby, managing director, myself, were talking the other day. We think within 10 years, downtown and Chinatown are going to look very, very different than they do today. And that's very exciting to be a key part of that. So we're looking forward to it tonight. And anybody listening to these podcasts, I thank you. I've run into some people, Brandy, that tell me they listen to this. So I'm encouraged that we're able to reach people and hopefully leave an inspiring word about all the work that our team is doing to make it a better place. But even for our own personal pride as a team, we want to make things happen. That's who we're about. We want to fix problems and make good things happen. That's why everybody signed up to do this job.
Well, Mayor, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And like you mentioned, we'll be there at the Pekake Room at 6:30 tonight, but a big one also the following week. Next week, we'll be at Manoa District Park. That's also at 6:30. That's for the folks in Manoa, Urban, Honolulu, and Waikiki. We hope to see you there. Mahalo to the mayor. Mahalo to you for joining us. And until next time, aloha.